again. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Terrific. Item 3.2, approval of the agenda. Have all the trustees had a chance to look at it? Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda?
I move to approve the agenda.
Okay, I second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. Unanimously approved. Item 3.3, approval of the minutes. Have all the trustees had a chance to take a look at the minutes? Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Gilbert, seconded by Don. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Passes unanimously. Regular reports, 4.1, Hillsborough Teachers Association, Alec McKenzie.
Hi there. Am I on? Yes.
Yeah.
First of all, this wasn't on my original agenda to bring up, but HTA would like to extend congratulations to Don again, officially. So congratulations. I know everybody will be very excited to hear that news. Not much to report for HTA right now other than open house coming up. So there's a lot of excitement and trepidation both about that in terms of from the teacher perspective, but mostly excitement that people are going to be able to come back onto campus and we can sort of feel like we've got our open houses going again. So that's really nice. And we're just, it's that mad dash to the finish. We're at Crocker, we're finished with testing for the most part, except for a few makeups, I think. And I know the elementaries are finishing that up. It's a very positive feeling as we're ending out the year, but also a very busy feeling. So that's our report from HTA.
Thank you so much. On to item 4.2, CSEA, Dee Mooring. Hi, Dee.
Hi. Don, congratulations. We're really, really happy. I can't wait to tell everyone. The classified staff at North, I can't wait to tell them. Finally, I have some good news for everybody. It'll be great. And we, too, are supporting all of this action that is closing up the year and really happy to do so. The kids are excited. People are being able to say, teachers are able to say, oh, you know, you're practically a second grader. You're going to have to get it together, you know? So it's really, really fun, and the kids are excited, and just this momentum toward the end of the year is a lot of fun. Fun for the kids and fun for the staff.
Great. Thanks, Dee. Okay, item 4.3, APG, Courtney.
Hello, everyone. So obviously, our biggest announcement tonight is that we have selected Don Geddes to be our 2022 Citizen of the Year. It was announced earlier this evening, and we are very excited to celebrate you, Don, next year, next fall, with a nice celebration. The announcement for Community Care Award will be coming in the coming days, so keep an ear out, an eye out for that announcement as well. And then my only other update is that the APG board has voted to support the Measure H bond, so we are very excited to be supporting that.
Hello, everyone, and congrats, Don, again. HSF is having a banner year, and I'm happy to report that we were able to hold all of our events in person, including the fun run that was just this last weekend. It was a gorgeous day. We had over 900 participants. We had firefighters cooking pancakes and two bands playing and lots of green everywhere. So thank you to everyone who participated in that and helped support it. We are working on collecting those pledges, and so anyone who still wants to donate can and be in our annual report before the end of the year, which is in production right now, and some really exciting participation news. Crocker is over 75% and so close to 80%, which has never happened before. So, wow. Wow. So we're working on a fun award for the kids. For the last, you know, couple weeks of school, we'll sneak it in there. And so we're working with Michelle Mendelson and Bonnie Slater to figure out what we can do to celebrate Crocker and also get them to the 80% where they will get a stipend towards their allocation. And West only has a few families to go to hit 90%. North needs one more. And I really tried to get them before this meeting. And South hit it. South hit 90%. So... yes, doing great. So thank you to this wonderful community and everyone who has already participated in our annual giving campaign.
Thank you, Bree. And the fun run was awesome. It was just, everyone just so enjoyed it. It was so great to see all the kids out there. So thank you so much. That was a big effort, I know. Okay, item 4.5, superintendent report. Luann.
Alrighty. Thank you, APG. That was so much fun coming in and seeing the surprise on Dawn's face. That was worth everything. And it was just fantastic. And I'm wondering how long we're going to have to stare at his picture. I'm sure he loves that.
One year.
I know he's so thrilled about that. He just probably doesn't even have the words to express how excited he is about that. So a couple of things. Again, thank you, HSF, for the fun run. And as Ann just shared, it was really a blast. And it was a great community gathering. And I'd forgotten that it started so early, but that was the perfect time for it to start because shortly after, it was roasting out there. So it was just a great day. And seeing staff running and, of course, our families and the kids, it was amazing. And I think our own little Elizabeth Carroll came in first in her age bracket for both boys and girls. So another Carroll runner here at our Crocker Middle School. So it was great and really loved it. Also want to share that I'd written in the last Friday newsletter, stay safe and finish strong. We are getting close to the finish line. Don't let down your guard. COVID is still everywhere. And so we just have to be super thoughtful and very careful and proactive with testing as we've been. And it's just tough. So we're going to make it through, of course, but we just have to be on kind of watch and just being thoughtful about what we do and who we interact with and how that all rolls. So we look forward to great end of the year events. We have Yosemite for our sixth graders. We have, of course, promotion for our three elementary sites. We have graduation for Crocker at the Performing Arts Center. So everything is moving along. Over the last couple weeks, we've had some staff appreciations. We've had Teacher Appreciation Week, and we've had Classified Appreciation Week, and we had a super fun get-together luncheon for our classified staff. And I just want to thank our site administrators and teachers for figuring out how to get all of our classified staff down to the district office to have lunch together. And it was just a really, really great event and a lot of celebration. And we also, of course, had our Teacher Appreciation Week. And as always, our parents go above and beyond. And it's for our teachers, of course, but it's for all of our staff at our sites. And everyone is recognized. And it's just lovely. So thank you so much to our parents for taking care of us in that way. I want to share a little bit. The governor's May revise just came out. That happens every year, May 10th, right around mid-May. And there's a lot to dissect there. In terms of community-funded districts like Hillsborough, it's still an unfunded mandate that we have transitional kinder. So we are doing that on our dime because the state is not giving us money for universal transitional kinder. And we have some excellent teachers in place. Our board has made it clear they'll reevaluate once we get the next school year started because it is an unfunded mandate. And we have to all know that that's the way it is, and we have to think about that. It was important for us to host transitional kinder this year because we didn't know where the budget was going to fall, and we needed a lot of planning. And Bhavna and her team and Matthew, Lena and Heather, where the sites are going to be located, have been very proactive in just transitional kinder. Also, the governor's May revise. There's a lot of things that are mentioned. We won't know for sure what is really set in place until the legislature votes on the budget, and that will happen in mid-June. So stay tuned. We'll continue to update folks as that moves forward. So I want to do a few little introductions tonight. And the first one I'm going to do is to Lisa Eyre. So Lisa, would you come up to the podium over here? I'm going to have you say a few words, but I'm going to do a little introduction. So pending board approval, which will come later this evening, hopefully, we want to welcome Lisa to the position of assistant principal at Crocker Middle School. As most of you know, our assistant principal, Dave Miller, is heading towards his hometown of San Ramon. He'll be an assistant principal there. And our amazing principal at Crocker, Maria Brady, is going to be retiring after 34 years in education. And we will recognize her at our staff event. But a round of applause for Maria as well. 34 years, that's a chunk of change. So congratulations. So in terms, Lisa has been amazing in so many ways, and she has spent so much time in the district getting to just know every level of the district. She has her Bachelor of Arts degree in History from the University of Arizona, teaching credential and Master's in Education. She's incredibly strong around curriculum and instruction. She's been an integral part, really, of curriculum development in the district, and without a doubt is well-respected by her colleagues and the parents and the entire community. And she started her career in Hillsboro during the 1998-99 school year. And she was at North School, where she taught fourth and fifth grade. She then moved to Crocker in 2003, teaching Spanish and English. And then she headed to South for a little bit and decided, no, I'm going to go back to middle school, although we love our South Tigers. So then she came back to Crocker Middle School, and she has her administrative credential, of course. She's served as the Hillsboro Recreation Summer School Principal, and that's where we really got to see her shine as a beginning administrator. For 3 years, she served in summer school, and she's come and give presentations to the board. And we're just thrilled to have you in the district, and thank you for taking on the role of assistant principal. So congratulations to Lisa.
Thank you all so much.
I'm going to have you press the... I'll show you.
It's a little bit of a challenge.
Oh, the guy with the face. Okay. So thank you so much. Good evening. As you know, I'm Lisa Ayer. My husband, Mike Ayer, is with me tonight. Our son, who is a Crocker Middle School 7th grader, soon to be 8th grader, and he went through South and now through Crocker, he's at home with a cold. So anyway, but he's doing well, but he chose to stay back tonight. I started in Hillsboro District 24 years ago. Keep taking my glasses off. 24 years ago at North, but I never thought way back then that I would be, I would be a middle school teacher, or I always thought I'd just be an elementary teacher. But of course, life, throws you different curves. And so, when I was asked to move up to Crocker because of my Spanish, I, went and enjoyed, working there with Maureen and Janet Chun, and just, really enjoyed being there for a long time. And then I had a baby. And when he was growing up, I felt my primary roots coming back. And so then I went over to South for a few years when he was little, and I enjoyed that very much. I'm sorry I didn't get to work with Lena there, but, and then the call came back to go to Crocker, and I just came right back home. Different classroom, but I mean, it just felt like coming home with the staff there. They've been nothing but supportive. The administration has been nothing but supportive. So I feel extremely grateful, so thankful to be here, spending my career here in this district. It's absolutely amazing to raise a son here, and his friends and the families that we've gotten to know over the years, either as parents, but also as a teacher, and now as an administrator. So I'm really looking forward to, the next chapter post-COVID, moving Crocker in the forward direction, and, supporting the staff and the students and the families to, just have Crocker be as amazing as it always has, and even better. So, and I felt nothing but true support from the staff as soon as it was announced. Everybody's just been, just been wonderful. So I feel like we had a meeting today. Alec was part of it, and I just felt so, like everybody's just working together. Maria was there. People were working together. People are willing to, to step in and help. And so we're really looking forward to, rebuilding our community post-COVID, where we can actually bring kids and staff together. So we're starting to plan those activities where we can bring everyone together and really feel like a Crocker community again. So anyway, I can't be more, this is a perfect time. I think it worked out timing-wise. This is a perfect time for us as a family, and I think it's a good time, for Crocker. And so I'm ready to dig in and work hard. So thank you all so
thank
much
you.
For your support.
Thank you. Alrighty, and then before I finish here, one more recognition. So Tori, I'm going to have you come to the microphone over here, and I'm introducing Tori, as our instructional coach for this next school year. And I am just thrilled, and I'm thrilled for a number of reasons, particularly for her love of math and just her love of teaching and being a teacher of adults, right? And so she's currently a third grade teacher at North School, as we know. She's gonna step into the role of the K-5 instructional coach with Christy Shreve, which is so exciting for their partnership. She comes with a wide range of K-5 teaching experience in California and New York. Of course, stellar recommendations from her colleagues. Just a calm, kind demeanor, and really a teacher of teachers. And I love that she's been very active with the Silicon Valley Math Initiative, something that's near and dear to my heart for many, many years. Working with Joe Bowler on professional development, and along with her teaching colleague, Katie Jones, they've done a lot of different types of math assessments, and I feel like they'll bring that wealth of experience to the entire district. And really helping our students understand that they are mathematicians and scientists and all those other really awesome things to help them be successful in their education. So we're very excited for your support of educators and also to roll out our TWIG science program. So many of you know I'm a science person, so yay to that too. So congratulations, Tori.
Thank you. Thank you, Board, and Luann, and Matthew, for this opportunity. I am truly so excited. And as Luann said, yes. While I enjoy teaching all subjects, math is my passion and science, and I have really spent a lot of time the past several years trying to find new ways to instruct students in math. And I always come back and try to share that excitement with my staff members and colleagues across the district. But now I get to do that officially, which is pretty exciting. And I can't wait. I can't wait. So thank you again.
Thank you, Tori. Alrighty, and then last but not least, you can see the visual of our assessed property values up there. And I think as of today, we are at 6.80. So love it. And you can see the graph up there, the yellow graph. So that's it for my report. Thank you.
Thanks, Luann. Do any of the trustees have questions on the regular reports? No? Do any members of the public have any questions or comments on the regular reports? Okay, seeing none, let's go on to current business. Item 5.1, Measure E, 1988 Parcel Tax Citizens Financial Review Commission Report. Luann.
All right, so I want to welcome our chairperson for the commission here, and this is Jeff Baxter. He's a community member. He helped us with our previous parcel tax citizens financial review commission. So he volunteers his time. He doesn't have any children in the school district, and we're just incredibly thankful for his willingness to help us out. And when Joyce and I reached out to him earlier this year, he was ready and willing to help us and has been a great partner to the district. So, Jeff, if you want to go ahead and present, that would be great.
Great. Thanks, Luann. And I'd be remiss, Don, if I didn't congratulate you. I know we don't know it. My wife won that award many years ago, so I know she cherished it and worked very hard, so I'm certain you did the same. So congratulations. Well-deserved from everything I hear from there. I'm not going to go through every slide. I know the school board has seen the slides. I will try to cover enough of the salient facts so that the broader group gets a sense of it. First and foremost, process a little bit about that, and this is for the broader audience. This was enacted many years ago, and it's a parcel tax assessed to the property owners in Hillsborough for the benefit of the school district from there. Mandated every 5 years that it is reviewed, and we make an independent committee makes a recommendation to the school board for their consideration and vote. So the committee itself does not approve it. We review all the facts and make a recommendation. Just stepping back, the Citizens Financial Review Commission is made up. I chair the committee. It's made up of four other community members that are independent of the school board. And then there's two school board members that will observe the committee. They don't necessarily have voter input into what the committee recommends, but they're observing and providing factual support. And then Luann and Joyce and Antoinette provide data to us that we can help evaluate the information. We start off this not with a presumptive that it was approved and voted in the past. We start off with it is a fiduciary responsibility that we have to the community that says we're asking them to pay an extra parcel tax each year to do that, to contribute to the schools, regardless of whether their kids are in the school or not. So we take it as quite a high burden of a level to be able to make that recommendation, since we're asking people to continue to contribute from there. Our focus is not around the revenue per se, just to put an order of magnitude. It's about $2.5 million of cumulative revenue on an annual basis that gets contributed to the school district. Our focus is more around how is the district spending their money, and what would the impact be on their expenses, not less around on revenue, but what would their impact be if they did not have this revenue? And would they be able to maintain the level of academics that everybody in the community expects from there. So that was our focus. The other things we paid close attention to this year that's different than 5 years ago was, what did the school do over the last 2 years or 3 years in this COVID environment from there? How did they adapt to that? What did they do? How did they deal with expenses? How did they return to an in-class environment sooner than others from there to create that environment? How did they create the safety? What cost did they have to incur from there to be able to differentiate themselves, which was also quite significant? When you think about kind of the impact of this, and when you think about what differentiates the Hillsborough School Districts compared to others, a lot of it is the focus around the quality of the teachers that they have. And the impact of not having this revenue, yes, you can cut certain costs, but the largest cost in the school district is the salaried professionals and the teachers from there. And they put most of their costs in actual teachers from there. And without this, there would be a reduction of, close to 20 teachers that they would have to do, close to over 15% of their workforce from there, which would be quite significant from there. The other thing that we also focused on is, when you look in the community, in the broader San Mateo community, is how many of those have partial taxes in those counties from there. And an interesting fact that we really focused on this year, and that is the vast majority, i.e. probably in excess of 80%, have partial taxes that are in their community to help the school districts and to help that funding from there. And then when you focus around what is those schools that don't, those few schools that don't, what impact is it having on them? And the impact is quite egregious to them and where they're having to cut costs from that. I'm going to flip through a lot of slides just to get through. One of the other things we look at is kind of how can you measure the impact of the quality of the school. It's become a little bit more challenging than, say, 10 years ago, when standard testing was easier and more universal, and you could measure and say, oh, this, West School or South School, or pick your flavor of the day, scores in the, blue ribbon, and this measure of the score. Those are more difficult in today's environment because of the standardized testing from there. So it's a little bit more of an intangible than compared to measuring before. But when we think about the technology where the money's going and the technology that's being updated, and then the other one, there's clearly recommendations, but here was a slide of data points, and it took a little bit for me to kind of process this with the committee, because what it says is, in a survey that was out there, there was a category that said somewhat favorable and then favorable. And I first deciphered that and said, well, is somewhat favorable a negative comment? And thinking about that, And it wasn't until you talked to the person who conducts a survey to understand that in this survey that goes out in the various communities that this was one of, it was probably the highest score that was out there in relation to the impact that it was done. So again, it took a little bit of time to kind of decipher what the data meant, but once you kind of pick through and look at it, it's extremely meaningful measure around what they do. So I'm going to flip, there's a comparable analysis with respect to where you see Hillsborough City, kind of ranks amongst a number of other schools in relation to, students to teachers from there. And then I'm going to flip kind of towards the end, even with the, and I'm going to flip to the future projections, even with the parcel tax going in, the school district still shows a slight negative balance from there and running on a deficit from there. It would obviously be significantly larger without the $2.5 million annually over 5 years. You can just do the math, and it's an extra $12-13 million deficit from there. When we pressure tested Luann and the team around that, it wasn't looking like, say, carte blanche, if we get the parcel tax, it gives us carte blanche to operate in a deficit. They know they're still going to have tremendous discipline to operate and manage the expenses to operate in a balanced budget from there. They fully anticipate that. This just allows them to do it without having to make severe cuts and compromise the integrity of the quality of the education from there. So after going through this and spending several weeks of going through the data and reviewing the information with the committee came back and recommended universally across the board that we would recommend that is necessary to continue the partial tax for another 5 years. From that, we then have another series of recommendations, that we put forth, that in addition to just saying, we approve it, we also talk about that, even with the partial tax, the district will still need to closely monitor and manage the expenses to stay within their budget, which I just talked about and highlighted from there. And then lastly, continue to support from the parents and the community is essential. We heard the report a little while ago with respect to the participation of the funding, and and the Crocker is going to get close to 80%, and the others are very close to 90%, which is spectacular. And so it's a true group effort on all of this. It is not the parcel tax is just one piece of many pieces that go into the success of this. And so the commission, uniformly across the board, unanimously voted to recommend this. So I'm going to pause there. I covered a lot quickly. I can take questions from the board, and I can take questions from the public, so however it works.
Thank you, Jeff. It's an amazing report. I was stunned when I opened it up in my packet, the amount of work that she put into this, and we so appreciate it. This is an action item, so do any of the trustees have questions, comments? Don?
Well, I just want to say I appreciate the thoroughness of the report. I know this district reasonably well myself, but I learned something by reading through your report. So thanks for your effort.
Thank you.
Great. Any other trustees? No? Do any members of the public have any questions or comments? No? Okay. So this is an action item. Is there a motion on item 5.1?
I move to accept the Financial Review Commission's report and to approve the recommendation to continue the parcel tax.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Moved by Don, seconded by Greg. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? None. Passes unanimously. Thank you so much, Jeff.
You didn't need to do that.
I know,
thank
but
you.
Give it to your spouse.
Diana very much appreciate it. I like it. Diana really appreciate it.
Thank you
Say
so
hi
much.
To Diana
Thanks,
from all of us.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, item 5.2, Hillsborough Teachers Association negotiations, an action item, and Greg is taking this one on.
Thank you. It's it's that time again. I always make the representatives of HTA and CSEA read their whole thing, so I'm going to do the same. This is to Alec McKenzie, the president of HTA. I'm not going to read the whole thing. We received their proposal, and this is our reciprocal initial proposal. Over the past, 10 years or so, we have grounded our proposal in what we call enduring core values. And they don't change very much because they're enduring. And they have to do with knowing that all these resources that, including the ones that were just reviewed, we need to make a balanced investment in the pupils, people, programs, and operations of our district. It's a puzzle that comes together to make this work. We do strive to maintain long-term fiscal stability, and that's for the stability of educational programs and stable employment for our teachers and classified staff. We believe in spending ongoing revenue on ongoing expenditures so that they're sustainable over time. We do wish to maintain a learning environment that continues to produce superior educational outcomes for all students. And that is possible. We firmly believe that this core value is supported by an entire community, but primarily by promoting teachers' excellence, respect for and pride in the profession, and recognizing the efforts of certificated employees and other staff members through competitive total comp and quality working conditions. And always we seek to eliminate or reduce deficit spending. Our overall goal is to have balanced revenues and expenditures, plan for long-term sustainability, use our resources to pursue the essential outcomes and the academic, social, emotional, and physical success of our students. We are intent on creating a reserve strategy and take a multi-pronged approach in balancing revenue expenses, looking at personnel levels and personnel costs, and have a systematic approach to those. Our initial proposal is to explore reasonable and prudent adjustments in employee total compensation, which support our 22-23 goals and are consistent with our board's enduring core values. We're proposing that this be accomplished by reaching a one-year agreement for the 22-23 school year. The team is myself, Trustee Geddes, the superintendent, Leilani Bell in HR, and Joyce Shen, our chief business official. We really appreciate the cooperative spirit and constructive negotiations we've had over at least the last 15 years, and look forward to maintaining a collaborative relationship with the association for our mutual benefit, but ultimately for the benefit of the students and the community we serve. So this is our initial proposal being offered for adoption by the board as our official initial proposal.
Thank you so much, Greg. Do any of the trustees have questions since this is an action item? No? Do any of the members of the public have any questions or comments? No? There being none, do I hear a motion to approve item 5.2?
I'll move to approve and adopt Hillsborough City School District's initial negotiations proposal to HTA for the 22-23 school year.
Second.
Moved by Greg, seconded by Don. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Greg. Okay, item 5.3, 2022-23 vended meal services contract. Joyce.
Yes. I'll just stay here, okay? And then I think, can we maybe pull out the executive summary? Yes, in the April board meeting, I presented the proposal from the lunch master So after that, I've been working with the CDE to get a agreement. So it's a long story short, and it's a lengthy process. You know, because our original proposal, the RFP was for food services management contract, having someone come in and cook and serve here. And so the CDE kind of kept us on the hook, and then with the contract, and they wanted us to use the template, so we did all that. In the end, we're told, oh, you're doing vended meals, and we don't really need to approve your contract. But regardless, they did all the scrutinizing examination of everything we went through, from all the backups and all the bidding process, everything submitted. So even though in the end, I don't know if they did it on purpose, want to see everything, and then in the end, they tell me they don't really need to see it. But anyway, so attached is the agreement, and the agreement was still on the, is based on a template with the food services management contract, but I revised it for the different model of service with vended meals, and then there's some changes on the cost per meal chart here too. So this is a more update with assumption of next year's universal meals. So you will see that the total number of free meals have total, it's kind of totally changed, right? Because the original model, the free meal is based on students who actually are eligible for free and reduced meals, but next year, everybody is free. And then only pay the meals if, like, staff wants to buy a meal. So you will see the chart is totally shifted. And then this is the one we're going by. And I know we may have some questions. I just want to clarify a couple of items. So we have here the estimated cost is at the bottom is $637,000, right? But the actual payment is based on meals served. It's not based on estimate. So, and Tracy has been, you know, working with us, and we have been meeting with the lunch master, trying to figure out a system, how to get a reports, and then from the platform ordering by the parents, by the students, to the point of sale, and how to communicate to CD, how to connect to our systems here. In the end, at the end of the day, it's all the meals served that we are obligated to pay, and also the same number of meals will submit to the CDE to get it reimbursed. So just want to clarify that. We're not locked on this estimate. The payment is based on actuals. The second part is, what about ongoing, right? Universal meals just started. And even when this thing first came out, as I explained before, is no funding, no program. So we have been preparing for this for a year now, because it was talked about quite a long time ago, but we didn't really get very serious, and everybody, like, it's a mandate until January when the legislature passed the budget. It will be in 2022-23 budget to fund the program, and then we really just have to do it, proceed with it. And what about the next year, right? I'm talking about after 23-24, after this first year, what are we gonna do? The budget usually, as I said, for every year after, like for 22-23, budget is announced in January, right? January 2022, governor's budget came out for 22-23. So we have about 5 to 6 months for the 23-24. If there's no funding, we would find out in January 2023. And then we have a 5 to 6 months to convert a program from free to paid. So we are not locked into it. And the other part is the contract is only 1 year. So we, I feel we have been prudent, even though there's still a lot to figure out. At this point, because CDE says they don't need to approve the agreement, I hope our board will approve it so that we can actually carry out. It's an action item. And then, but I'm ready for questions.
Okay, do any trustees have any questions on the lunch master? Kim.
Not a question, but I just wanted to thank you for your time that you took to answer questions and meet with me, and appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I'd like to second that, Joyce. This has been a tremendous amount of work on such a short timetable, and you've done a stellar job at getting us an option and really investigating the costs to make it a positive thing for us. I'm 101% behind providing meals to kids who need them, as we have in the past. However, as a privileged community, to me, this just doesn't feel right in my gut for us to be accepting state and federal funding, because those funds could be used for those families in need. But that said, we have no choice here. There is no opt-out position, no opt-out for this program. And I've spoken with legislators in D.C. about this. They know this legislation is flawed. So we're going to make the best of it. It's going to be a great thing for our schools. But as we all support the children of Hillsborough with this program, and we'll make it great, you know, I just hope that we can also support those in need in our larger community.
I agree with you.
And do any of the members of the public have any questions or comments? Okay, this is an action item. Do I hear a motion for item 5.3?
For 5.3, I move to approve the district's vended meals contract with Knob Hills Incorporated, doing business as the Lunchmaster for the 2022 to 2023 school year.
I'll second.
Moved by Gilbert, second by Dawn. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Passes unanimously. Thank you so much, Joy.
Thank you.
Okay, item 5.4, Declaration of Need for Fully Qualified Educators. This is Leilani.
Good evening. So tonight I'm bringing forth our Declaration of Need for Fully Qualified Educators, our annual Declaration of Need, for recommending for approval in the event that we need to hire a teacher for next school year if a teacher were to go on leave and we needed to fill that position. So this document goes to CTC asking or putting it in place that we have set forth everything we needed to do in order to go through the hiring process, and we are putting forth an emergency credential for a candidate that would need to have an emergency credential in place. So I'm recommending for approval for our Declaration of Need for Fully Qualified Educators.
Any questions from the trustees? Questions or comments from the public, members of the public? Okay, this is an action item. Do I hear a motion?
I move to approve the Declaration of Need for Fully Qualified Educators.
Second.
Moved by Greg, second by Kim. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? None. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Leilani. Item 5.5, proposed 2022-23 board meeting dates. Luann.
Thank you, Trustee. So you can see on the attachment, which I think is going to be up here, the board meeting dates. We do need to make one modification. Trustee Geddes brought this to my attention, and it was something we had to change last year. So for the December meeting, we have to have, according to education code, we have to have the meeting within a certain number of days after the election, after the second Friday in December. So I'd like to push back the December meeting to December 14th. So other than that change, if these dates work for the trustees, I would like to go ahead and move forward with them.
Any comments or questions from the trustees? Don.
I just want to quickly clarify that December, you could have a board meeting on the 7th, as we did last time, right? It's the reorganization of the board has to happen the second Friday. So what we did last year was we had a second board meeting just to reorganize. But it's convenient if it's on the same date.
Yes, it's much more convenient if we do it all on the same day.
All right. We don't want to have unnecessary meetings. That's right. Thanks, Don. And thanks for pointing this out so we didn't make the same mistake twice. Any other questions? Any questions from members of the public? Okay.
Ian, I'm sorry.
Don, go, I mean, Greg.
I had, for some reason, I had two August dates. Did we set a tentative one and then change it?
Yes, we did. We had a tentative one, but one of our trustees was unable to attend that meeting, so we moved it to the 18th from, I think we had the 24th initially.
Right, okay.
Yeah, that's so just one meeting in August.
All right, I'll delete the other one.
Is that okay?
Yep.
Okay. So this is an action item. I move that we approve the proposed 2022-23 board meeting dates. Is there a second?
Just to clarify, with the change of December 7th to December 14th?
With the change of December 7th to the 14th.
I'll second that.
Okay, moved by me, seconded by Don. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Passes unanimously.
Thank you, trustees.
Thanks, Luann. Okay, item 5.6 is an informational presentation by Bhavna on universal pre-K planning grant.
Good evening, everyone. This is an information item. So before we go into the grant plan, I thought I'd give a high-level overview of what this plan is about and give you an update on the TK implementation so far. So if I can have the next slide, please. Thank you. So the UPK plan background established as part of the state early learning initiative. It's in the state budget 21-22. Funds can be used for implementing universal TK. This is a one-time allocation, and HCSD fund allocation is $112,222. And the condition for accessing those dollars is this particular plan that we have for your consideration today. These are the plan components. There's a self-certification that you see in there. There's a projected enrollment and needs assessment that was provided to us from CDE. And then there are components of focus area planning, starting with vision, community engagement, workforce recruitment and professional learning, curriculum, instruction and assessment, and of course the facilities, services and operations. And then the final one, they've asked us to provide questions that we have for potential technical assistance. So just a few updates on where we are with our own TK implementation. And before I begin that, I just want to thank Mrs. Mata and Mrs. Butte, our two elementary school principals, where our TK sites will be located. They have been partners in planning for welcoming our youngest learners to their schools. And also thank our maintenance department. Thank you, Ron, for partnering with us in getting the facilities ready too. So this is our guiding framework. CDE is working on a TK-specific framework as we speak, but we will be anchoring ourselves in the preschool learning foundations framework. We will have two classes, one at West, one at South, and our day will be 8:20 to 12:20 p.m. We have completed our hiring of the two TK teachers, so yay to that. Super excited about bringing two very expert teachers on board to launch this program for us. We recently collaborated, brought the two teachers and principals together on May 3rd, did some visioning, prioritizing, did some curriculum review. We have some samples to look at. Kind of thought about instructional design and from the lens of inclusion, and then did some logistics and communication planning. We have partnered with HREC to provide extended day care for students. Information will go out today to families. And then finally, we are planning a day in TK parent orientation on June 7th. And that information will go out today as well to welcome our families and share a little bit about what their day in TK would look like. We thought a day in TK kind of rhymed well together. All right, so we are ready to embrace new beginnings in the service of our youngest learners. Our two teachers are focused on planning an instructional program that focuses on social-emotional learning as well, school readiness skills, and those pre-academic skills. And transitional kindergarten is really year one of a two-year kindergarten program is the way it's framed. So kind of looking at it from that angle too and being developmentally responsive. And so if I can have the plan. You all have the plan for your consideration. It has all of the elements. We have a set of required questions that we had to answer. If I can, yeah, we'll have to scroll. Thank you. There's a lot of background information that you will see, but let's keep scrolling down all the way to where the plan starts, all the way. I apologize, we have to include all of that in our plan too. And so this is sort of what you have in front of you is are the plans, are sort of our answers to their required questions. And the reason we have these required questions that we were required to answer were because we wanted to, this is a condition for us to access the funds that we will have the one-time allocation. The second thing is after July 30th, we will receive a survey from CDE and we will have to answer all of these questions again. And that's when we will have access to the funds. We don't have a date yet on when those funds will be released, but that's a condition to complete that survey at the after July 30th. And that's our plan for the Universal Pre-Kindergarten Planning and Implementation Grant Plan. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Do any trustees have questions? Greg.
Bhavna, the instructional day for TK is 8:20 to 12:20.
Yes.
And then you said there's a partnership with HREC. Do you have an idea what happens after 12:20?
HREC will be offering a fee-based extended care for families who need that extended.
So what happens after 12:20? What does that look like? Do you know?
Yes. So HREC will be offering a program which will be integrated with their own pre-kindergarten program from 12:20 to 3:15, which is the duration of their kindergarten program. So that will be the duration of the extended care.
Thank you.
So they could just transition one from the other, like on the same campus?
Yes, on the same campus. They will be on the same campus. So the West program and the South HREC program.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other trustee questions? No. So Bhavna, so on the slide that says HCSD fund allocation, 112, 222, is that the cost of the program?
No, that is the allocation that CDE has provided for HCSD. That's not the cost of the program.
Joyce,
you can see Joyce vigorously nodding her head.
do we have an estimate of what the cost is for this first year?
Okay.
So we have, well, actually, maybe let me do the other item for the preliminary budget. I'll address that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Joyce.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Bhavna.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Do any of the members of the public have any questions or comments? Okay. Thank you, Bhavna.
Thank you.
Okay. On to item 5.7, the 2022-23 preliminary budget. Joyce.
Hello. This was developed before the May revise came out, and then that's why it's a pretty preliminary. If you can open the executive summary from your laptop, and the AV assumption, assessed value assumption is a 6.75, and as Luann mentioned earlier today, is a 6.5. 8, right? It still fluctuates. We hope it will go up, not go down. And then for 20, the 2 years out, the 4% and then 3%. A big part, well, if you look at MYP, and then what stands out is deficit spending. And so, and a big challenge is like a personnel part. And to answer the questions about the TK, and if you look at the chart on my executive summary, which I'm not going to pull up on the screen, you have it, and you will see that we have, for TK, we have 2 TK teachers, new, we're hiring, and we have para, right? Para goes with the TK classroom anytime if the number goes 12 and above. So average teacher cost, I was calculating that. Average teacher cost is salary. Our average salary is salary plus the degree stipend and the longevity. Our teacher's earning average is $122,557. And for next year, statutory benefit, including STIRS, everything, is 23.85%. So at that, our average teacher, the benefit part is $29,229 or $230. So that in 2022-23, average teacher cost is $151,787. So 2 teachers' average cost would be $320, something like that, from both salary and the benefits, and that does not include the para educator cost. So that just give you an idea. And the funding is one time. As Bhavna said, we will get $112,222, and we have not seen the money, but we have been spending the money because we need to set up the classrooms. We have been buying stuff. So hopefully that answers Anne's question. And the other things that are going to personnel for next year, we saw the value of the intervention specialist for K-5, and then that was one-time funding for 2K-5 for this year, for 21-22. But we are continuing one for next year because of the value, educational value. And we will also be adding a resource specialist at the Crocker, and another mental health specialist. But that also, we're looking into it to see by bringing the service in-house and if we can achieve saving. It's still too early to say, but that's our hope. We want to bring back the Spanish teacher if we can find one for the 4-5 program or K-5 program. The other thing is going to this multi-year projection is a STIRS and PERS. The rates have gone up and significantly for the next year. We got a break in the last couple of years, but now it's coming back. Other than that, between now, as I said, this was finalized by the May 11th, and then we got a summaries of May revise on the 13th on Friday. So between now and in the next couple of weeks, a lot of things will change, and then on both revenue side and expenditure side, well, you maybe look at something different, but this is a very preliminary, and it's an information item. Questions?
Great. Do any trustees have questions? Do any members of the public have questions or comments? Thank you, Joyce.
You're welcome.
Would any trustee like to pull an item? Gilbert?
Yes. Can we pull item 6.1?
6.1?
The personnel action report.
Okay. Anybody else? Great. So.
I'll make the motion. I move that we approve items 6.2, 6.3, 6.4 on the consent agenda.
Great. Second.
Okay, motion by Gilbert, second by Don. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Passes unanimously. Okay, Gilbert, you have the floor for item 6.1.
Yeah, let me speak to item 6.1, our personnel action report this time. I saw that Susan Frankel will be retiring as one of the items in the personnel action report. I wanted to recognize her time with our district. She started in 2003, but she started way before that in third grade. She's been here in the district a long time, and we will recognize her service in the Social Studies Department, her involvement with the Washington, D.C. trip, and a whole bunch of other things she's been doing. But we want to say thank you and wish her well in the next season of her life.
Thank you, Gilbert. I actually came to Crocker with Susan Frankel, who was known as Susie then. Okay, so Gilbert.
Yeah, I move that we approve item 6.1, the personnel action report.
Okay, I second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And then passes unanimously. Terrific. On to item 7, public comments for items not on the agenda. Would any member of the public like to make a comment? Okay, Lisa. No, you need a mic.
Good evening. Thank you, board members. And I'm just here to make an announcement on behalf of the Yes on Age Committee. But first, I just want to congratulate Dawn, well deserved, on your recognition tonight. That's very exciting. We will be hosting a coffee for the community for Measure H on May 26th at 10:30 a.m. And we just want to invite the public to attend and come with questions and discussion. We want to engage the community and ensure that we are addressing any questions or concerns or be able to just answer queries as well. And we really want people to feel like they are invited and they can bring a friend. It's very casual. So I just wanted to make that announcement and get it on the record. It is at 17 Stone Pine Court. That will be the address. We'll hold it safely outside. And we do ask that attendees are vaccinated and wear masks. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lisa. You've been working so hard. Thank you. Any other public comments? Okay, on to item 8, communications and board item discussions. Are there any trustees that would like to put some discussion items forward? Gilbert.
Okay, I'd like to share with the public that I will be standing for re-election as a trustee in the November election. I appreciate the community's trust and support for the past 8 years, starting with my appointment in 2014 and through two election cycles, one of which was very contentious. We have a great governance team. The trustees I get a chance to work with are individually thoughtful, offer diverse perspectives, and all do their homework. Our superintendent listens, collaborates, and is an excellent leader for our staff. And the team works together well, always asking what is in the best interest of all our students. We were able to return to in-person learning early, and there is still much more work to be done, especially if our community decides to pass Measure H, our school facilities bond. With the public support, I hope to continue serving our students, our schools, our staff, and our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Gilbert. Don't me? Okay. I guess I'm going. I also intend to stand for re-election in November, and I just feel so fortunate to be part of this district. I think you all know that I attended the schools, and I'm just so thankful for the wonderful staff we have here. This is an incredible board to work with, and we just really appreciate and I think we're truly grateful for each other, and I think we have the most fabulous superintendent that we all love working with. So we are very hopeful that we succeed on Measure H. I would love to see some updates to the schools that are still vintage from my years, and I hope that the public will support my reelection. Don.
I'm the third seat up for election in November, and I appreciate the Citizen of the Year award earlier tonight. I also will be running for re-election in November, so I hope the community will support that. Thank you.
Terrific. Any other communications? I would just say that the board is so looking forward to hosting the staff appreciation party next week on the 25th. So please spread the word on the campuses. And I think is that it?
I just want to say that was a trifecta of great news. And please, to our administrators and folks in the audience, please encourage everyone to RSVP for the staff appreciation party. That just really helps us out tremendously. And we also have open house, just a quick note, tomorrow night, K-5, and then we have our Crocker open house on the 26th. So just FYI.
Okay, then I will adjourn the regular meeting at 7:15, and everyone can go see the end of the Warriors game.